Good morning. I'm glad you're here with us this morning. The flowers here are a beautiful reminder of an incredibly touching memorial service that we had for Dodie Lindley on Friday, and that's Cindy Kaemeyer's mom. And rare is the funeral occasion where there's such joy because you know that this person is with Christ. And even rarer is when the family comes to you and says, you know what mom would really want? Just a simple message of salvation. Wow. That told me so much about Dodie Lindley. And I pray that you would get to know her by getting to know the family and friends of Dodie. Well, this morning we're going to talk about hard times. We're also going to talk about joy. We're going to talk about a church on a mission. We're going to talk about life circumstances. There's a lot going on in our passage today, and we've all probably been through hard times. You could define it as a number of different things. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you've got a difficult marriage. Maybe you've got rebellious kids. Maybe your business isn't going well. Maybe the plans you made aren't working out. Maybe hardship, despair has entered into your life. And you know what? I'm just scratching the surface of what hardship you could have experienced. Whatever the case may be, we often see hardship as normal, don't we? You get to the point where through these hardships, through these times of life when you didn't plan this, it didn't go the way that you wanted, oftentimes you get to this point where you look around and you say, how did we get here? You might even be tempted to look at God and say, God, why am I in this situation? What is your plan with all of this? Well, Paul knew about that. Paul knew a lot about some tough circumstances. After conversion, after meeting Jesus Christ personally on the road to Damascus, he becomes a disciple. He learns well from Peter and others, and he sets out to become one of the foremost evangelists and theologians of the Christian faith. If Paul started a church, it likely became a thriving witness in that community. If Paul led a prayer meeting, likely somebody came to saving faith. If Paul was teaching, many were listening. Oh, the glory days of ministry. But something happened. The Jewish leaders could not stand him. They couldn't stand that he converted to the Christian faith. At every turn, they sought to discredit him and even bring false charges against him. Now, unfortunately, because many have listened to that opposition, the Roman officials have imprisoned Paul. He awaits a trial. But let's be clear on one thing. Paul has done nothing wrong. Paul has done nothing illegal, and certainly Paul has done nothing heretical. Yet there he sits in his own prison cell, which becomes one of the greatest witnessing tools ever known. Turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. He tells the church in Philippi, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Let's pray. Father, teach us today. As we open your word, as we desire to be fed by it, I pray that you would bring clarity to these verses, that you would bring understanding to what it means that sometimes even though our circumstances aren't what we want them to be, our mission is still the same and you can use those to advance the gospel. Pray, Father, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my refuge. Amen. I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. You ever been in a place? You ever been in a situation that you didn't plan? You wonder how you get there? Do you find that the circumstances that you are in are unwanted or even worse, they're harmful to you? Do you realize that God has engineered those circumstances just for you, for no one else? Have you thought that maybe you are where you are at because you need to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ? Right there. God does not waste opportunity. He has placed each one of us here for a time such as this. You and I may not be in the most comfortable of situation right now. We may have aspects of our life to which we would like to change. But God does not waste opportunity. He uses all things for His purpose and all things for His glory. Now, do you realize that the church has been given a clear call, a clear mission, a clear commission, if you will, to share the gospel, to grow disciples deep into maturity, and, get this, to do this in any circumstance that we find ourselves in? He definitely has. We're going to see that today. God wants His church to be on a mission with the gospel, so much so that no matter what Satan throws at us, the gospel of Jesus Christ is still advancing. Why? Because a church on a mission with God will advance the gospel no matter what the circumstances are. The church that's on a mission, the church that really knows what its point is, will advance the gospel no matter what happens, no matter what comes in, no matter what opposition it faces. We're going to see today clearly that no matter what happened to Paul, he was advancing the gospel. And as an example to us today, we need to take seriously that we're to be advancing this gospel still, despite any circumstances that may be perceived as negative. Today in Philippians, we find Paul revealing the purpose of his letter. It's a literary cue common in his time. The phrase, "I want you to know," is frequently found in letters of that day and age, and it tells us that Paul's opening prayer is over, and he's headed into the body of his letter. But as with many situations we find ourselves in, and certainly the situation that the church gets in, news gets out fast, doesn't it? The Philippians know that Paul is imprisoned. They're likely worried. Our hero is now imprisoned. It'd be natural to wonder, is he okay? Is he going to continue to preach the gospel? What about church planting? What about the disciples? It's natural to wonder. News got out. But before the gossip mill starts churning out its filth, Paul wisely sends out a letter. He's okay. More than okay, he's on mission. And it's thriving. There's something far greater than Paul's physical condition here. The gospel is spreading. The mission of the church is still advancing. The whole imperial guard knows. The mission is on. The mission hasn't changed. The mission continues despite Paul's imprisonment. Then what is fascinating is it's not only advancing, it's thriving. Everyone knows. Let me ask a tough question here. Let me ask a tough question of New Hope Church here for just a moment, if I may. Are we on such a mission with God that we are advancing the gospel no matter what happens? Do we know our mission so well? Do we understand that our circumstances aren't going to dictate that mission, but that God and God alone is going to dictate that mission? Are we so on such a mission that no matter what happens, we are still sticking to the mission? Now, let me speak candidly, if I may. In the short time I've been here, I realize New Hope Church has gone through a number of challenges. And this is not a review of those challenges. It's not to even assess what side we stand on or even to assess our own rightness, if you will. but it's to ask a very important question. Through those challenges, through the difficulties, are we still on mission? Are we still on task with what we have been tasked with? And that is, go, make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have commanded. Are we still on a mission? Do we know our mission? Are we sticking to it? I want to review with you why it's so important that we stick to our mission, why it's so important that as a church we stick to the mission, because sticking to the mission is not based on our circumstance. Our community depends upon it, and it actually creates an opportunity for us to grow in our boldness with our faith. Our first point today is circumstances do not dictate the advance of the gospel. Circumstances do not dictate the advance of the gospel. I'm amazed at the early church. To study the book of Acts, it's a worthy discipline. I highly recommend it. There are a number of people that, though, when they study it, though, they say, oh, I would really like to go back to the way the church was back in the book of Acts. Okay, that's fine, but can we paint a complete picture of what that really looks like? Can we really paint a picture of what that church looked like? Let me just read a passage for you out of Acts 5, starting in verse 40. It says, they called the apostles, that's the they is the council, the Jewish leaders of the time. They called the apostles because they had actually taken them and arrested them. So they called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Get this. We're going to beat you. We're going to threaten you within an inch of your life. We're going to tell you you should not speak the name of Jesus. And yet every day they're on mission. Why? Because a church that's on mission is a church that knows what it's supposed to do. A church on mission is a church that knows and understands that it has been given from God and not from man. And that no one, rulers or authorities out there, can change the mission that God has given his church. Are we on such a mission? Are we on such a mission that we know and understand what God has called us to do? The early church knew its mission. It would not be deterred by threats of the Jewish council. They were on such a mission with God to advance the gospel that their circumstances were not going to get in the way. They did not waver. Do you have that kind of steeled resolve? If persecution, if threats or religious war broke out, would you let your circumstances dictate your actions? Or would you let the mission from God dictate your actions? Paul knew not to let circumstances dictate his actions. In fact, he tells the Philippians later on in this great book, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul knew, he tells him in Philippians 4:12, I know how to be brought low. In other words, I know that my circumstances are not going to dictate my ministry. Because he had at one point lots, and he had at one point nothing. He had one time his stomach full. At one point, he was very hungry. He understands that that does not dictate the call of God, the mission of the church. And he reminds him of that. And I think at this point, it's a great reminder that, you know what, our circumstances, the things that God has given you, are in the sovereign hands of God. He knows you. He has not made a mistake by giving you the difficulties, the trials, and the hardships that you experience. He loves you very much. He cares for you very much. And he will walk with you through those circumstances. In any and every circumstance, Paul says, I know the secret. And that secret has nothing to do with being well-fed or having lots of money or having lots of success. That secret is his faith in Jesus Christ. And may I remind us, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Our next point, a church on a mission with God advancing the gospel becomes known in its community. Church on a mission with God advancing the gospel becomes known in its community. On September 12th of 2013, after heavy days, or after days of heavy rain, historic floods came upon the town of Estes Park, Colorado. At the east entrance of Rocky Mountain National Park, with its high rugged peaks and surrounding the town, Estes Park is a breathtakingly beautiful area. But not on this day. Some areas around there had received as much as 17 inches of rain over 2 days. And even though it was September, and that's when the rivers run low, and even though there was near historic drought, 17 inches of rain overwhelmed this town. With all the high peaks, there was only one place for all this water to run, right into Estes Park. Places would have feet of water rushing through the town. The town was devastated. Rocky Mountain Church is an evangelical free church that has been in Estes Park since 1994. For years they had grown, they had reached out, they had discipled men and women and students, but prior to that flood, Rocky Mountain Church was praying that God would use them to impact their community and to bring about revival. Be careful what you pray for. After the flood, Rocky Mountain Church banded together with other churches in the area, and they hosted and they themselves staffed relief. They worked with our denomination, the Evangelical Free Church of America. We have a disaster relief branch in our national denomination, so that by the next summer, teams from all over the United States started showing up to help. Demolition, construction, yard work all became part of Rocky Mountain Church's mission, but coupled with the words and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The result has been amazing. People know Rocky Mountain Church. People respect Rocky Mountain Church. People are thankful for Rocky Mountain Church. There's a church that did not let circumstances dictate ministry. They are a church well known in Estes Park now. In our passage today, Paul finds himself in prison. Now let me just ask a hypothetical question for you. We're not in prison. But what would prison be for you? Let's just think. What is that hardship you're experiencing? What's that difficulty? What's that quote-unquote prison that you might be experiencing? Would you see it as a chance to spread the gospel? Would it be a God-created moment for you to be on mission with him? Or would it be a chance to complain and lament your surroundings and play the victim card? If you were innocent and you were imprisoned, would you simply see the injustice? Or would you see it as a mission opportunity? Paul says this in verse 13 today. So that it became known throughout the whole imperial guard and to the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Paul was not going to waste an opportunity. God never wastes opportunity. Paul's in a prison cell, and yet it becomes this incredible evangelistic opportunity, and it becomes an opportunity for everyone around him to know about Christ. The gospel is advancing. The gospel is thriving. The community around him, he starts where he's at. It's amazing. Paul wants the Philippians to know that what has happened actually is good. It serves as a platform for him to share the gospel. Paul starts with those that are around him, the Roman Imperial Guard. Those that are basically doing prison ministry. All right. So here we have prison workers that are being evangelized by Paul. Here we have the whole imperial guard learning. We have the most unlikely people starting as a base for the gospel to spread. It wasn't the government officials. It wasn't the wealthy people. It wasn't even the religious leaders. It wasn't the movers and the shakers of the community. It was prison guards that Paul started with. And guess what? The gospel flourished. So what would happen? What would have happened if Paul was let out of prison after only a few days? Think about that for just a moment. What would have happened if Paul wasn't there? Would the imperial guard know? Would those that are around them know? Paul was in prison long enough to evangelize and for the word to get out. But it brings up a good question that I think we should wrestle with. And I want you to really take some time this week to think about this and to pray about this. Ask yourself this. New Hope Church were to disappear overnight, would our community even notice? If New Hope Church were suddenly gone, yes, facilities, but also its people, were suddenly gone, we'll just call it selective rapture here for just a moment. Would our community miss us? This compels me more than anything else to really think, are we on mission with God? This compels me more than anything else. This is what keeps me up late at night more than anything else. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we impacting our community for the cause of Jesus Christ in such a way that this community says, man, I am so thankful for New Hope Church? If Rocky Mountain Church in Estes Park disappeared overnight, the community would notice. They have been impacted by the love, the gospel message, and the service of Rocky Mountain Church so much so that they are seen as essential and valuable to that community. Let's be essential and valuable to Cedar Edge, Colorado. Let's get on our knees and say, God, what is next for New Hope Church? Where are you moving that we can join you and be on mission with you and not let our circumstances dictate ministry, but get involved in ministry in such a way that this community goes, wow, I'm so thankful for New Hope Church. Our last point today, opposition creates boldness. Opposition creates boldness. I used the life and mission of William Wilberforce in messages before, and he's certainly a very worthy example for us to study. I'm going to use him again and just a little bit different angle on him. 1780, Wilberforce began his political career in British Parliament. And he enjoyed the life of luxury and prominence that went with it. But in 1785, Wilberforce had an encounter with Jesus Christ so powerful that he would forever be a changed man. In 1787, Wilberforce was asked to join a handful of Christian anti-slave activists. From that point, Wilberforce started what would be a career-defining mission to abolish slavery. At first, he presented very little threat to the slave industry. But as time continued and many bills were voted down, Wilberforce only solidified his God-given call to end slavery in the United Kingdom. Over 20 years, Wilberforce lobbied unsuccessfully for any change to the slave industry. It was not until 1807 that Parliament passed the Slave Trade Act of 1807, and that only a partial victory. Wilberforce would continue, even into failing health, pushing for the complete abolition of slavery. Finally, after 46 years of lobbying, the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833 was passed 3 days after Wilberforce died. What would opposition do to you? Would it break you? Would it cause you to grow stronger in your faith? For Wilberforce, opposition created bold opportunities to witness for Jesus Christ over a 46-year run. He would only become more and more bold in his faith and more bold in approaching this terrible issue we call slavery. Paul knew that opposition, even imprisonment, did not change his mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that he could make Jesus well known even in prison. And Paul displayed our point perfectly here. Opposition for Paul was an amazing opportunity to grow bold. But something amazing happened. It wasn't just Paul growing in his boldness. Other Christians started to share confidently. Other Christians started to share boldly. For Paul knew that a church on a mission with God will advance the gospel no matter what circumstances are. It says this in verse 14, "And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment," imprisonment creating confidence? "Yes, and much more bold, they speak the word without fear." Wow. One of the main themes of the book of Philippians is joy. Can you hear the joy in Paul's report? Others are growing confident. Others are growing bold in their faith because of my imprisonment. Joy overflows in this verse. How can a person in prison have such joy? How can Paul be thrilled that brothers and sisters all over know about his imprisonment and are using it for a witness opportunity? How can Paul be innocent of all charges? Yet as we see, this prison equals ministry opportunity. It all comes down to our source of joy. What is your source of joy? See, when our joy is connected to the advancement of the gospel, not our own comfort or even other people's response, it remains strong in the face of opposition. What is your joy connected to? Is it your circumstances? Is it how this community treats you? Is your joy connected to whether you will be bold or not? When our joy is connected with the advancement of the gospel, when our joy is connected to God priorities, it remains strong even in the face of opposition. Don't let your circumstances dictate the advancement of the gospel. Don't waste an opportunity to become known in your community because you are on a mission with Jesus. Don't let the opposition make you weak and ineffective in your witness. Let Paul's example show you that true joy is found in advancing the gospel no matter what the circumstances are. My friends, the church needs men and women who will be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. The church needs, God is calling, I believe, for men and women to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. Will you be one? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for joy overflowing the pages of what would possibly be viewed as such a negative report that somebody's imprisoned. And I'm challenged because I realize how negative I can often view my circumstances. But I pray that you would impress upon my mind and my heart the mission that you've given your church, so that no matter what my circumstances are, no matter what the community reacts, that I can increase in boldness and sharing my faith and advancing your cause. Lord, we love you. Teach us to be bold witnesses for you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing this last song with boldness.
Exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord. Forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. The Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
One more time.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
As we part, we do have a potluck. We invite you, please stay, be a part of that. And as Larry mentioned earlier, man, we always have lots of food, and we're just going to trust, if you didn't bring food, remember the loaves and the fishes? It'll multiply. We're all good, okay? So please stay. We got updates from our building committee. We got updates from the elders and myself. We'd love to just share with you. And even have you ask us questions. So come, be a part of this. It'll be great. And if we can get your help, the process here is we need to just clear out all the chairs to the sides. We get the tables from under here, set the tables up, and then we bring the chairs back in. And then we'll do that after we're done. But come, be a part of your congregation and sit with somebody you don't know. Get to know them. We'd love to have you. May God bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you this week. May you go in the boldness of the Word of God to be on mission for Him. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.